Most of you have seen David's slide about spiritual activation, the steps of spiritual activation. And every one of the classes that we teach are based on those steps. So we spend 2 days going through those 5 steps. And one of them is to introduce the experience of grace, and then it's also to feel the pain of it not being present, and then looking at ways to retouch it, allow yourself to feel it, and then know you're capable of being in it. Sounds really simple, doesn't it? And yet there's this whole process of a culture that we've created that has to be addressed, that has limited our ability to know it, be in it, and be comfortable in knowing we can be an authority. An authority is not a state of arrogance, it's a state of mastery or wisdom. I often use the diagram of the figure eight. I'm sure many of you have seen me dance it as well as draw it and do all kinds of things where, you know, you're receiving what comes from the invisible into yourself, allowing yourself to pour it out in radiance and then receive what comes back from the world and lift it up. So in the first time anybody introduces that to you, like the idea of receiving something from the invisible, for one thing, the idea that love is possible to be coming to you might be a novel idea that you learn when you're 2 years old, but it might also be something you learn when you're 60 years old. Because if you've been immersed in a culture where you have to protect yourself from the world, or even protect yourself from God, or whatever it is that is the source of orientation in the culture that you're raised in, there is an element of awakening to the possibility of receiving something from the invisible, receiving some kind of blessing, connection, empowerment. So in receiving it, there then has to be the whole culture that you are holding within you, whether or not you think you deserve it, whether or not you understand it. What is it all about? What does it want back? How is it possible for me to allow that to move into the world in a graceful, masterful way? I appreciated the way you ended your words, Bob, to allow the magnificence of yourself and the magnificence of others to be seen. And we have a valley dedicated to inviting people to do this together. What proves to be the biggest limitation is people don't believe they're capable of it, worthy of it, or that they can see it in anybody else, because they're so damn invested in judging themselves that they feel they end up projecting things on the people in their world, mainly because of how they judge themselves. I certainly know that to be true for myself. You know, there are times I just think things are really difficult with certain people, and I'm the problem. I'm the one who is actually has a limitation in seeing that something, what's happening here is possible. What's happening here is fruitful and fertile and all kinds of words that are exciting, as opposed to exhausting, tiring, and I could use a nap. Anyway, this experience of being in grace, what came to me today, and I wasn't sure I was going to mention this, but in some ways, I'd like to apologize for last Wednesday's service with Barbara. I know I talked a lot. And I know Barbara did too, but that's just to be expected from Barbara. Barbara loves to talk, so like she likes to speak after every person. But one of the things I was attempting to do, which you might not be aware of, and I may have failed at it miserably, is like she and I had a plan, and she just kept going in other directions, and I just thought, if we're going to get anywhere near where we wanted to go, I felt like I had to keep bringing it back. And if anybody's worked with Barbara, you know that she actually relies on someone doing that. But in a service, I just thought, you know, I felt like I failed because I talked so much. But it was one of those things that, was that graceful, or was it an attempt to be wise, or should I have just let it run its course? One doesn't know until you're in the midst of it what's useful. And, you know, words came back to me about I talk too much. That was said to me directly. But my intention was grace. I'm saying that not to, like, to do this as an apology, but I was looking for how can we get to the powerful things she and I talked about if we keep going in the direction that's the exact opposite of what she and I talked about. And like, she was so enamored in all the appreciation she gave me. That was not what we talked about. And it was a little uncomfortable that she kept saying those, that how much she appreciated me. But there was something that we touched about drawing forth from another person the magnificence and the beauty of them through words of appreciation that end up being about you giving the appreciation and the person receiving the appreciation. So we kept trying to touch that, but then, like, if someone just gave somebody appreciation without having a context of what was possible, it could have been just like, well, everybody going in the room saying, we're all great. And I didn't think that would get us where I thought Barbara and I wanted to. And so I'm only naming this as sometimes when you are attempting to bring grace with other people, it can be like, you got to let go and let it, whatever's happening, happen. And I could have done that better. I could have said, wherever this goes, might go deep for people, it might not go anywhere. Let grace fill the room, because I just am going to let it go, instead of my concern that people really get a gift, which is the way I feel like if someone's dedicating their time to be together, that because I coordinate these times, I feel a bit responsible to make sure that what's coming to focus can happen. Again, this is not like I'm beating up on Jane thing. I want to name that at times when you are attempting to be graceful, you might be tripping over your feet and people don't really know what's happening. It's okay. I mean, the stories that came out in the class about how grace showed up in, there's some people in this room that I'd love, I wish they were at service prep so they could have, I could have forced them up here to tell the stories that they shared in the class, because it was like amazing that they went through a cycle in their life that got them not just to Sunrise Ranch, but to a place where they realized there's so much more about who they are and what they could do with their life. We've all met somebody who saw something in us, right? And most of the time, we didn't believe it until somebody, a second person, saw it. And then it was just like, well, maybe they're onto something. Maybe I really am pretty amazing, you know? So as we look at this figure eight, there's practice in the receiving. Like, initially, the receiving of the blessing is like this awakening experience that seems like a simple little gift. But then when you're in the position of grace and you've gone through this cycle of knowing, you know, blessing and then understanding, letting your consciousness be aware, taking some action with that new awareness, and then fulfilling your mission, going to a place where you blow the sides off because you, what you thought before doesn't work anymore, and then you have new thinking, enlightened thinking, based on the fact that you're connected to all these capacities. By the time you get to enlightened thinking, the sovereign's engaged in your heart and your mind, and your body's engaged, and so there's this whole, you're thinking with all capacities instead of just these simple layered thoughts of, well, what do I do now, Kemosabe? You know, I mean, there's something more happening in enlightened thinking, and then you go to the courage of being yourself with those new thoughts and with all your capacities online to reveal who you are, because in some ways you haven't really revealed it yet because you are just learning all that. And you shouldn't be listening, Jwala, because you haven't taken the class yet, and you're going to have to learn all this. you're getting the previews and the and. That's not fair. But then, you know, the courage to be yourself. And then once you're being yourself, you realize you are not only receiving grace, you are stewarding grace. You are holding your world and everything in grace, because for this came you. And one of the things we did in shortening the class to 2 days was, the final 2 days was a lot about service, because it is in knowing grace that you start serving your world in a very conscious way, in a very different way than just being nice or just showing up for work. It's like you do it because you know you have the capacity to bring something far, far more than you ever knew was possible before. And in service is, there's this thing of giving and receiving. That was the way Dorian was saying, you have to receive from other people. There's this gift of heart exchange that is the knowing of grace at a very different level than what happens before you know that. When in every one of the classes, every one of the days, we have a mythic story that we use as a reference to how grace works. And in this particular day, grace, the story is Les Mis. There's many layers to the story, but part of what happens is is it Jean Valjean, is finally released from prison and has an experience of being saved by the grace of a priest who catches him stealing the silver in the church and ends up turning his whole life into a direction of part of him wanting to serve and take care in a way that he probably never would have if he hadn't had that experience. And, you know, there's Fantine and Cosette, and how he assists them in their coming forth through grace in service. There's a little song in there that I keep playing on the piano. There is a lady dressed in white. Anybody know that song? I like to go there in my dreams. Somebody there for me to see. It's just a beautiful song of this little girl hoping that she might someday know grace. Because she's had to be abandoned. Her mother dies because of the French Revolution and not, you know, all this stuff. But you feel the experience of longing in a child that is actually very true in every stinking adult. There's a place I go to knowing that grace is possible in a human life, that we're all longing to know it, and we get it dashed so often that we keep living a superficial, desperate life instead of releasing ourselves into the possibility of knowing grace while we're still alive, and then sharing it by the way we serve each other. So I really appreciate the downpouring that Rude and Dorian spoke about, and this experience of, yes, I'm experience of figure eight, but if you put all those figure eights that are happening for all of us at the same time, we're one big stinking Taurus. So it's all moving through all of us, and we get to engage in the manifestation of what grace looks like in a human life on Earth now, going all the way back to the culture that Adam started with before you had a culture that limited it, judged it, and decided it could only be a certain way. Before there were words, there was the experience of grace. And I'm grateful that my words could invoke some of it tonight, even though they are limited, they are also true. They're true for you and they're true for me. So thank you, and thank you for just being here and this powerful experience for me. Please be safe on your, grab an arm as you walk home for your 20-foot walk. Thank you, everybody.